Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a getaway Friday night, April the 12th, 2024. 13 minutes past the hour, joined in studio on this Friday night for hour number two, Carrington Nelson and Matt Morgan. And we're off and running. Did you have some, was that a private conversation you were having there? Go ahead.
Okay. That's fine. Hey, remind me after the show to send you the... My phone's dead, so I need to send you those pictures of you interviewing Lonnie Lee.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Yes, there you go.
I had forgot to send those to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I will definitely try to text you. I tried to call you earlier today, actually.
my phone's been dead all day.
Yeah, that makes sense. It went straight to voicemail. I called her. I was like, oh, it must be on do not disturb. Like, I'll try again that way. Nope, and right to voicemail. Yeah. I was like, okay.
What was like a buddy call? Like, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I wanted to see what time he was going to be here tonight, but...
Oh.
Close enough.
Not really buddy-ish.
Close enough.
Not really buddy-ish. Well, you know, anyway, whatever. As we go along, we got to have one of these for this particular hour. Taylor Swift.
Yes.
For one,
back to the
one
Taylor
more,
Swift.
One more round with Taylor Swift, as they say.
I love it.
Taylor Swift broke up with her boyfriend, DJ Calvin Harris, years ago. And now he is remarried. And she, the new wife, is a Swiftie, but has admitted that she only listens to Taylor Swift music when she is outside of the house, so he doesn't have to hear it. Isn't that dramatic?
Yeah, I think so.
This story's for you.
I know it's for me. Thank you. I appreciate it. I don't know. I mean, she's trying to, like, distance it. I mean, that's probably, like, an awkward thing whenever you're, like... I love Taylor Swift. Like, I can imagine how I feel about Taylor Swift, and if I was married to a man who previously dated Taylor Swift, that would be so weird. Like, incomprehensible, really. Like, I can't imagine.
I have to be honest with you. I have no idea what you just said. I can't even... What?
If I was married
to a man... If you were married to a man that had previously dated Taylor Swift...
Yeah.
Don't you think this would have came up before the marriage?
Yeah, like, she obviously knew that he dated Taylor Swift.
Right, but I don't... Right, I think so.
Right.
So has she just never listened to Taylor Swift in front of this guy?
Well, I don't know. Maybe she became a Swiftie is kind of how I took this.
Either way, what's the question? Is it that it's weird that she listens to it outside of the house?
That she
only?
Has to avoid her husband because
dramatic.
They're...
Yes,
yeah.
Does he
Am I
her?
Speaking English here? I mean, what?
I'm just... He doesn't make
Listen,
her
Listen, I got
listen.
A bun on the wall at Tony Paco's. I think I know how to do this.
I agree. I don't know.
So, what's the problem with this? Do you think that she should have to go outside just because this guy dated her?
Does he make her go outside?
No. I think she does it to not bring up bad memories.
Right. So it's her own choice.
Yes.
Because she probably doesn't know how to feel about it. She probably is like, that's crazy. I don't know how I would feel in her position if I had dated a man, or I was married to a man that had dated Taylor Swift. Like, maybe you would be like, yeah, I don't want to play his ex's music right in front of him all the time. Like, obviously, I mean,
isn't that what she's doing, though?
No, she's going outside.
Right. So, I mean, that's what you have to do? Is that the point?
I mean, no, you don't have to. She's making a choice, but I don't know. It's weird in, like, a celebrity situation. It's like, I don't have any famous exes who I have to worry about. They're... famous music being everywhere and stuff. It's not a problem for me, so it's hard to put myself in her position there. Like, I know Taylor Lautner, who is also married to a girl named Taylor. She's a Swiftie, and he had dated Taylor Swift previously, and, like, they go to her concert together and everything. So, like, it must just depend on the situation. Like, maybe the husband doesn't talk to his wife about his time with Taylor Swift. Why are you fake falling asleep? I don't know what wasn't sensible about what I'm saying right now.
I felt like I was in Apocalypse Now. I was with you there for a while, and then it was almost like your head exploded. I don't know. You just kept talking, and I don't know what...
It's like you, like, asked, like... It's like she was reading a Wikipedia page.
Oh, my Lord. I don't know what... What?
I guess I just have a lot to say about this one. I mean, you said this topic's for me, right?
Yes. But I don't know what your opinion is. Honest to God, I don't. What did you say?
What was the question?
Oh, Lord. I can't ask it again.
Okay, so. Is she being dramatic?
Yes. Should she do this? Big deal. He dated her. She's got him now. Who cares? Turn the music on. You think he hasn't heard Taylor Swift music somewhere? By God, it's everywhere.
No, well, I was about to say the same thing. I'm sure he's heard Taylor Swift music. I'm
and
sure
so
heard
what if
together.
He dated her? My God, this ended like 10 years ago.
10 years? And she's still not 10 years ago.
Yes.
Whatever. I don't know that it matters.
Who
this
cares?
10 years.
It's dramatic on her part in the sense of, like, he's not evading Taylor Swift music. Like, did you know if you get on a United?
I'm sure I didn't know.
Hey, well, I'll let me tell you something.
Please do.
If you get on a United flight, they have.
I love how you've rolled up your sweater sleeves because it's currently 78 degrees in here. Go ahead.
78 degrees inside. That's a little okay.
Go
I
ahead.
Had to. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Anyway. If you get on a United flight, they have some pre-boarding music now, and Taylor Swift is one
there
of the
go.
Songs. So if you take a United flight, like, you're going to hear Lover by Taylor Swift. So
well, whatever.
That's what
I don't. I just don't understand. Why is she avoiding? I don't understand.
I don't know why it matters.
Maybe he's worried that, or she's worried that he feels weird about it, like that it's his ex.
It's music.
Yeah, but what if he's, like, listening to the song, and he's like, is this about me?
Well, probably is.
It could be.
Probably that's how she does.
Yes.
That's how
so
she does.
Maybe he's like, oh. And so she doesn't want to, you know, like, set him into a mood where he feels weird.
You know what? I said this weeks ago. When I see pictures of people from my past, usually I'm embarrassed for them. I just, oh, poor person.
Oh, we know.
Yeah, I do. I feel bad for him. And that's awful, I guess. But I think, wow, your standards have really hit the point.
Does that make you feel bad about your standards?
How so?
Because you're like, oh, I gave that person a chance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I should take them off the resume.
Yeah, you feel
yeah, I don't think I didn't mention it now.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. That never happened.
Okay, yeah.
Because I think it's disgusting now what's going on there, so I can't have a... They're like guilty by association.
Yes, they downgrade.
Guilty by chew. I don't need that.
But
exactly. Don't want to be in that group.
Right, right.
Take your flannel shirt and go make some maple syrup someplace else.
Exactly.
I don't need that.
Exactly.
I don't need that.
Right.
That ain't
like,
my thing.
Oh my gosh. Like,
Listen, tuxedo and one of those down there in your jaw, that just don't work. That's,
yeah, and it's like,
yes.
Wow. Like,
have you ever had that?
Yes. Yes.
There you
I
go.
Do know what you're talking about.
Yes.
And you're like, ooh, well. I mean, we all make choices.
Yeah, you've had a downhill slide. I mean, but people think it's a jealousy thing. It is. No, it is not. A matter of fact, if there ever was a boomerang moment now, I couldn't. I couldn't even, because I would always picture that thing.
You're like, ah!
I'd be like, oh my God, I'd wake up screaming in the middle of the night. Not that I wasn't waking up screaming in the middle of the night the first time, so it's not much different.
So you could do it in theory.
I guess I could.
You could overlook it.
Oh, man. So what do you think, Matt?
As far as this thing?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. We you know, it kind of went on a little bit.
It veered there.
So I mean, I think she's being a little bit dramatic here because, like, obviously, I mean, like, it's Taylor Swift music. Like, I mean, I don't avoid Taylor Swift music, but I don't go out of my way to listen to it. But, like, it's everywhere. Like, it plays when I'm at work. Like, it plays, you know, on the radio. Like,
it's got some good songs.
It just plays. So, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's not like, I can almost guarantee you they've heard Taylor Swift music together. Like, that's how common
it is.
Right,
but isn't it, I mean, okay, you have memories and blah, 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 but isn't it good to have a clean break in all situations in life? Why carry around, I mean, hey, it's over.
It has to take some kind of, at least, it has to take some kind of effort to not listen to her, like, to go out of your way to listen to her music because you dated her at one point in time.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Just leave. Just go.
I mean, like you said, it's not impossible, like, or it is, like, almost impossible to not listen to it, like, I'm sure in public situations, but I guess the wife's just like, you know, maybe not in the house, not here.
This, well, there it is. I love this story, by the way, because we've talked about this, and this is comedy gold. Jerry Turner and Teresa Nist were the first couple to meet and marry on The Golden Bachelor, ABC spinoff of The Bachelor, featuring cast members 60 and older. On Friday, today, the newlyweds announced that they will also be the spinoff's first couple to divorce. After a whole three months, and they said it wouldn't last. They made the announcement, oh, I can't even read, this is so funny. They made the announcement in a joint appearance on ABC's Good Morning America. Teresa and I, this is a quote, Teresa and I have had a number of heart-to-heart conversations, and we've looked closely at our situation, our living situation, and we've come to the conclusion mutually that it's probably time for us to dissolve our marriage. Mr. Turner, age 72, said. The anchor, Juju Chang, replied in shock. 3 months after getting married, she said? I mean, what the heck, guys? She asked later in the interview. Explaining their decision, Mr. Turner said they both were dedicated.
Do you need me to read this for you?
I can't. It's too funny. You want to read the last paragraph?
Yeah.
Oh, dear Lord in heaven.
Mr. Turner said both were dedicated to their families. Each has children from previous marriages as well as grandchildren, and that it made the most sense for them to live separately. Ms. Nist, 70, added that they had looked at homes near family members in South Carolina and New Jersey, but that they had been unable to reach a conclusion.
3 months! This took this couple.
Scott's notes have after 3 months,
3 months
underlined.
It is so funny. The Golden Bachelor, they said it wouldn't last 3 months. Boy, love is fleeting, isn't it?
Okay, I remember whenever we talked about them getting married, because I think this happened back in January. That's about the 3 month timeline.
Oh.
And we were all like, oh, wow. And this is kind of ironic.
This is too funny.
This is ironic.
This story. I might put this in the book. This story is just too funny. Even the anchor, poor Juju Chang. These are quotes from Juju Chang here. 3 months after getting married. I mean, what the heck, guys? Oh, that's funny.
How do you get on national television and say that with a straight face? I would have, like, faked out that marriage for at least another 2 years.
That is so embarrassing.
At that point, I would have just looked at him and look. How about you live separately? And I'll live separately, and then in about, like 2 to 5 years, we can call
we'll
it quits.
Announce that.
I hate to tell you, this is proof, this is life right here. This is life. These people were so in love 3 months ago that they tied the knot. It lasted 3 months.
Well, if the biggest complaint is we looked at houses in South Carolina and New Jersey and
that's what
couldn't
they're saying.
Reach a conclusion.
Yeah.
I think that's just what they're saying.
I mean, yes, that's the public one, but that's silly to say to the public. Like, you think
what are you going
to
say?
Like, before you married someone, why would you not discuss where you were going to live or anything? Like, that just seems like something you might bring up.
The show stopped. The show stopped. This has nothing to do with where these people are living.
Yep.
We have airplanes and cars and trains and buses. This is about the show stopped. He's no longer putting on a show. She's no longer putting on the show. They saw each other for who they really are.
Yeah, they weren't getting married on national television anymore.
And I hate to say it, but this is society now. This is what it is. I mean,
that one is really embarrassing. 3 months. 3 months is really sad. You should have just dated them. Why did you put a ring on it?
But no, but they realize that. People don't understand, and this is what I've said on this show repeatedly. It's a show. You got to understand. It's a show. That's not who they really are. You got to wait till the show stops. And when the show stops, this happens. And you look ridiculous.
After 3 months on national television, you sure do.
You know what? Frankly, I don't care about 3 months or 3 years. It's ridiculous. You were not there. You know, you just shouldn't have done it. You didn't know.
Well, so I was just thinking, is this the same Golden Bachelor that we were just talking about?
Like, same one?
There's only been one.
Yeah.
This is okay.
This is the first season of it.
All right. I remember when we talked about this show coming out now.
Remember he was crying? This 72-year-old goofball?
Picking between two people. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Apparently he picked the wrong one.
I'm sure the other one he could have agreed on a place to live with.
This is just so dumb to me, though. I cannot believe people are this naive. And that's truly, even at 72, these people are this naive.
I mean,
to believe that this is love. Love, you asked Jess earlier, what is love?
Oh, yes, because, you know, that's the question Scott likes to ask.
I do, because people don't have any idea.
And then Jess kept saying, well, if you love them.
They don't know.
Well,
nobody
them,
knows.
I said, Jess, what is love? And she said, whoa. And then just... Yeah. Kept
an answer.
Yeah, and then she didn't even, like, try. She just kept...
Because nobody can.
She just said, whoa.
Nobody's honest. Nobody's honest about it, because the truth is, nobody knows. You think you know, but you don't.
You even had, like, it's one of the, like, the things that play at the top of the aisle. You had the you know.
I asked Dr. Ruth, the famous, Dr. Ruth, yes, Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
And then she even said, everybody's got their own definition of love.
Of course. But it's not, I mean, people, God, people have to get a grip. I mean, I assume this was money. This was probably the pressure of the show. This was, I'm getting on in years. I think this was a lot of things, again, that were a show. And when they really went to real life and the show stopped, that's what happened. People got to think things through.
Yeah, The Bachelor's never been the best way to fall in love and start a marriage, that's for sure.
But you know what? I see people all the time, and you can't tell them because they're insane. They're in love. They got that Google eyes going on. You can see it when people don't belong together. You can say, that ain't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't tell them that because they think it. Why else would they be in it?
Right. Right. I mean, yeah, people get silly sometimes, especially when they're not, like, truly thinking about it. I feel like it's more about, like, can you support this person? Do they make rational decisions? Will they support you back? Like you said, you think support is a...
Number one. If support is huge. And if you think somebody telling you positive things is, like, redundant, that says something about your self-confidence, I think. You need somebody there telling you things over and over and over about yourself. I think that's a bit of a... like a self-esteem issue you probably have. If you think people telling you that you're a good person is overkill, no, you should have somebody telling you that every day.
I think that's helpful, for sure. Whenever I started going to therapy, that's what they basically were just like, you're a good person, and it helped. It did. Like, just to have somebody that's like, you know, I respect this person. They seem like they're a good person, and they're saying they think I'm a good person. Like, perfect. That's what I needed to hear.
Well, I tell it to people who I think need it. Yeah. I mean, if I think somebody needs, I'll say it over and over and over and over again, because who can hear that enough? I mean, some people have down days and they just need to hear sometimes, hey, you know, you got something there.
Yeah, it definitely does more than what you would think it would do, especially since, you know, people might think it's repetitive and you feel like you're saying the same things over and over. But
now, if you say something negative, people don't ever say that's repetitive.
That's true.
You stink. You know, you can do that all day long. But you know what? People got to stop. People gotta stop going into things with goofy goggles in their eye. I don't know what they see. I honest to God don't. I really don't. And I am, you know what? I'm all for relationships, and I'm all for people, if you want to get married and live together for 50 years and be happy, good for you. My parents were never divorced. I did not come from a house where there was a divorce. I don't know anything about that. So, you know, it does happen, okay? But it just didn't work for me. So, but I knew that. Why don't more people?
Some people are, like you said, I mean, you can't explain it to someone once they're in the position. And, like, some people, I feel like, just maybe lack some self-awareness. I don't know. I think the court system needs to put, like, a 2-year, like, okay, we need 2 years of proof of dating before we're going to let this marriage go
on, or something. I know people think I'm harsh about the multiple marriage thing, but it does look ridiculous. I'm sorry. It just does. I mean, that you did that, that you went through that paperwork 3 or 4 times.
At some point. At some point for both parties, one, you have to look at the track record of the person you're about to marry.
Exactly.
And two, if you're the person who's been in that many marriages, you have to look at your own track record and say, maybe I'm the one who did something wrong.
They don't believe that.
Because like, it's just mind-boggling to think that you've had, like 3, 4, 5 marriages, and you think that everybody, like, they're the problem.
I had somebody tell me, who had married and divorced 4 times, tell me, bad luck. I just have such bad luck. You got that right.
Bad decision-making skills, maybe.
You got some bad luck in your decision.
You got some bad luck. You certainly do. There's a cloud over your head. There's no doubt about that. I don't know. I just
did not realize it just takes two people. It's like you had to also be like, this is a good idea.
Yeah, you got married.
Yeah, at least in one of those. At least in one of those marriages, it had to have been like your fault. Like, it just.
But you know what? I would hear about their marriages, and they did sound awful. But I keep thinking, why did you get married? And why would you get married again? I mean, even if you thought the person wasn't going to be the same type of person, you have a bad record here. Stop that. I mean, just don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, after the fourth or fifth wedding, like, how
love.
Do you, How do you convince people to go to your wedding and not just, you know?
I think they don't have as many weddings toward the end. I think they start doing the courthouse
style. No, it's a courthouse thing. Yeah.
They stop inviting people. They're like, oh, people aren't coming anymore.
It's embarrassing.
We're not getting gifts.
But, you know, some people can't see it. It's their blind eye. Everybody's got a blind spot, and that's their blind spot, you know? But
some,
you know what?
You know, sometimes you need some people to point out your blind spots.
But they don't. That's why it's blind.
Yeah, but if you get enough people to tell you, you would think at some point you'd catch on.
Why are they married four times?
Not enough people are telling them.
No, they're telling them.
I think, I don't know.
Bad luck.
I think a lot of their friends are just like, you know, man. Yeah, I think a lot of their friends are like, I mean, I don't know. I think at some point you got to just be like, look, okay. I don't know. At some point, somebody's got to be like, look, you're making some bad decisions here.
At some point, we've got to take some accountability.
Yeah, at some point, they're like people around you can't just be like, oh, it's not.
Well, like, I did say at one point that change is good, and I think that's what they think. Change. Oh, this is a different person.
Right. Well, yeah, out with the old and with the new.
Yeah, but you still got some old hanging around there. You, you're part of the problem.
It's got to be a lack of, like,
what's the common denominator in this problem here? And change is not always good. Change is good in some situations. That situation change is not very good.
When you're changing partners?
Continuously.
Several times.
I mean, good Lord.
Seriously.
What is wrong with you? I mean, you really got to have a mental disorder. I'm sorry. You got to have...
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, sorry. You think that's not call for mental disorder? You need to be on some kind of medication.
It's just baffling to me that people like that, I guess, truly exist. I guess I don't know anybody personally that's done this over and over.
I'll show you some.
No, but like that I have like an intimate, close relationship with. And like maybe that says something about like the people I choose to be friends with.
Some people can't survive without a person there is what I believe it is. I don't believe it's really. I think deep down they probably know they're a problem. They just got to have somebody there. They are also dependent on that.
I think a lot of people have a hard time turning down the ring, like the engagement.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it's just hard to say no, especially if a spectacle was made out of it. Because like, how are you going to turn down this man in front of like 25 people?
It's like a drug deal. Just say no. Stop. But some people are very dependent on those relationships. They cannot survive outside of them. I think it's like that almost is like a drug, and it. It's
they do
weird.
Say love is like a drug.
Is it?
That's what they say.
Who's they?
I think like in science, like in like your brain, like chemical stuff, like the
certainly
feeling.
Makes people nuts.
Yeah, I think the feeling that like people get, it's like
well,
in
yeah,
love, it's similar
get,
to like
but that's
drug
not
feeling.
Love. No, that's just a high you get of a new person.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's.
That's just an endorphin rush because the person's new.
Well, I'm just saying that's
when that endorphin rush wears off in about 3 months.
Well, that's what you're talking about, like people that constantly need somebody. Maybe it's that like endorphin rush of like, oh,
exactly.
The new,
I
like,
believe because I honestly believe they're a little weak-minded is what it is.
Ooh.
Now, it's not stupid. I'm not saying stupid. Stupid is not weak-minded. What do you think weak-minded is?
No, I thought you just meant like they don't have they don't believe in themselves enough. Maybe
yes.
Like they don't have the capacity to think that they can
yes.
be on their own.
That's
like,
exactly what it is.
Still is like, ooh, but like, yeah, you're probably right.
Well, why do you think they need that person there?
Because they don't believe in themselves.
Right, you got to have somebody propping you up all the time.
Yes.
I think that relying on somebody else for happiness is a terrible thing to do.
Exactly.
Because when you rely on somebody else for happiness, if they're not happy, you're not going to be happy. And then all of a sudden, if they're gone, which...
You're going to be very
which
unhappy.
Which usually they end up leaving.
Which is why they say
and
yes.
You end up super... Yeah.
Because they don't want them to leave.
Worse. So it's just... It's not good. Not good.
People don't like goodbyes, and that's what happens. Because you know, if you turn down the engagement, that person is going to be, if nothing else, they're not going to be happy with you.
Everything has a beginning, and everything has an end.
It certainly does. It certainly does. And you know, sometimes the end is okay. I mean, the end is not always sad. I don't know why it's always going to be sad. Sometimes it's okay. That was that.
Yeah. And you're just like, okay, well.
Yeah.
Sometimes the ends are like, you know, bittersweet. You know, like it's
bittersweet, you think? I like a good ending.
I guess it depends on what the ending is.
What's a bittersweet ending?
I mean, a lot of the times, like a good movie or a good show. Like I don't really watch all that much TV, but like Avatar: The Last Airbender is like one of my favorite shows of all time, and I've watched it at least 7 times now because like the first time I watched it, when the show ended, I was like, man, they should have just kept going.
Yeah, but, you know, don't you think you're more involved with the people when you're doing a show? And when it's over, it's... I mean, I've interviewed so many people over the years who work together, and they're there 5 days a week working on that television show, and then the show ends, and they really don't see each other. I mean, they might get together, like, they have a reunion. And say, when's the last time you saw such and such? Oh, gosh, it's been 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
And they spent 5 days a week together for years and years and years to years. That's a situational relationship. That's not a...
That's just kind of how the business works.
Right. And you have to understand that. So you don't get upset when it's over. You just... Goodbye.
See you later.
See you later.
That's how it is sometimes.
See you if I see you. Bye.
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't think you get all mopey-dopey at the end of those sort of things. You would be happy with what you did. And you say, that was fun. That was a good experience.
Oh, or another good option. Gravity Falls, one of my actual favorite shows of all time, even though it's a cartoon on Cartoon Network. But anyways, it was only 2 seasons long, and the creator was actually offered time for an extra season or two, I don't remember, but he turned it down because his original idea was for a 2-season show that lasted over the course of one summer, so he kept to his idea, which I respect, but at the same time, I would have loved to see more Gravity Falls.
Hey, he kept it to what he wanted to. I mean, sometimes... maybe he felt like he kept going. He didn't have, like, the ideas. He didn't think the show would be what he wanted it to be anymore. I mean, sometimes it's just like, okay, no, we already set out what the ending's going
to
be.
Well, and also, I mean, I hate to say this. I hate to go back, but a lot of people like the Golden Girls, and I interviewed 3 of them, Betty White and Bea Arthur and Rue McClanahan, and come to find out, you know, this group that was so close-knit and people love the show to this day, well, Betty White and Bea Arthur really did not get along. They really didn't like each other, and, I mean, they got together when they had to, and when the show was going on, they would have denied it heavily that they disagreed with each other and didn't like each other, but the truth is, they really didn't like each other, and when Bea Arthur died, Betty White would finally admit that on show. She'd say, I loved Bea, but she just wasn't all that thrilled with me. She didn't. She
just threw her under the bus.
She did.
Betty.
She did. Betty would say that on shows.
Oh, my gosh. She was just waiting for her to go, and she's like, well, here's the truth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that is true. I mean, listen, when you're doing a show, and I hate to go back to, but it because it's so similar to radio, and by the way, there's a new book coming out on Barbara Walters. I hate when they do that. They wait for the person to die, then they write the tell-all. Well, now we're going to drag her through the mud because she can't defend herself. But anyway, The View... It's always when it's on and that group is together, we're the best of friends. We all love each other. It's all great. When somebody goes, they're not even invited back as a guest. It's like, whoop, we're gone. You know, because it's not pretending. It's, you know, you have to be together and you know you're doing a show.
I mean,
so you get along. You just do it.
I mean, a lot of people kind of do that. I mean, like, even for more mundane, I mean, like, people do that at work a lot of the time. Like, people usually, like, don't like all their coworkers, but, it's a lot easier just to...
Right, you don't say...
You just get along with your coworkers because you work together.
But, when you know it's the last day...
And then there's no point. There's no reason to.
It's over. What's the point? Throw them under the bus.
Might as well.
Yeah. I mean, do you notice they never talk about people from the past?
Actors or
yeah, when somebody would leave a show, they don't talk about that person anymore. They do one final goodbye, and that's the last you ever hear of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it is for most things.
Yeah,
I've not noticed that. Do they never people they don't bring up past?
Well, you don't bring it up because then people start asking questions, and it becomes more of a thing. You know, usually they just we thank them for their contributions, and now we're going forward.
That's fair, but what if there's, like, inside jokes, like, that relate to them?
I really don't think they bring it up. I mean, it's a harsh business in a way.
I feel like that's just, like, an opportunity to, like, for camaraderie that everyone's missing, like, just...
Yeah, but you know what? I'll tell you, when somebody leaves, you really do find out who liked you and who didn't. Because, see, you're almost obligated to deal with that person when they're around.
Mm-hmm.
But, I always say that when I'm picking out topics for this show, that these are not exactly what I want to talk about.
Oh, for sure.
I pick out topics that I think that particular group will latch on to or have something that we've talked about before. But if it was a different group, might be different topics. So it's just that way. It's just that sort of thing. And that's when, so I think it's the same thing with people. You know it's good radio. You know it's good television. So you put up with it and you do it while it's going on. But when it's over, you really have no reason anymore to be dealing with it.
That's true. I guess the true colors come out.
They do. They do. And, you know, I mean, sometimes I guess that is hurtful, but it doesn't have to be.
Well, I mean, you got to lean into the strengths of the people on the show. Otherwise, it's not
exactly.
Otherwise, it's not going to make much sense.
Exactly. And not everybody are friends. I mean, it just, that's reality. You know, I don't think you can be friends with everybody.
I'd agree.
You prop people up while they're there, and then you move on.
I think you can get along with everybody, but I don't think you can.
Right. You can't have discord while it's going on, but once it's over, big deal.
That's true.
Like, I don't think you ever diss the person. I don't think you bring them up and diss them. I don't think that's good.
I think that's bad on you.
Yeah, I think that's petty. But I just think you just don't mention them at all. Like, it never happened.
Gone like the wind.
You woke up from a dream, and now it's a whole different thing. It's a whole new day, as they say.
New day.
New day.
I'll never hear the words new day without being like, oh my gosh.
Now, this is interesting. Let's get another topic in here. The Washington Post found out that they're looking at a new trend, trad wives. Women who will forego a career to be a stay-at-home wife or a girlfriend and live a life of leisure just like the good old days, is what they say. Good idea to be a trad wife?
I don't think so, no.
Is it just like a stay-at-home mom?
Yeah, but you are purposely giving up the career to make this choice because you think it's going to be like the good old days, a life of leisure.
I mean, I guess it's like a decision that you probably would like talk about and come to with the other person. Like, I feel like childcare is really expensive. I know that this is not super on topic.
Well, no, it doesn't have to be
people with kids.
Yeah, it just like if you're married to like if you got married, you wouldn't have a job because your husband is taking care of you.
I mean, if that's what works for them, that works for them, I guess, if that's what they want.
Yeah, but I think going into the idea that it's going to be a life of leisure, I don't think it's going to be a life of leisure.
I mean, hopefully you're, like, helping around the house and doing stuff, I guess, if you're going to just sit at home.
See, I think that, I mean, like, I think they just think they're going to be just chilling at home all the time, not doing much of anything. But, like, when you're chilling at home, like, I mean, I don't think back in the day, or the good old days, as they put it, it was an easy job. Like, you took care of kids if you had kids. You kept the house clean. You cooked the food. You did the laundry.
Who would make the butter if it wasn't for them?
Who would make the butter?
You know, like, they're not just sitting.
How far do you want to go back?
Butter's not getting made by people sitting around.
You
want to
be in a butter churn?
She reminded me of Jess this morning. Bring it up.
they go way too far back. I mean, we're not talking the 1800s here. We're talking the 1950s or 60s, I think.
I mean, there have always been stay-at-home wives. Like, that's always been a thing. Like, people have always had people that stayed home. I mean, in the 1800s, I feel like there was the traditional housewife where you're...
Well, there were, but I don't think that's what this is.
Hunters and gatherers, you know?
But that's not what this is. This is like a stay-at-home mom from the 50s or 60s.
Okay, so it's just cooking dinner and, like, doing the laundry.
But purposely saying, I'm going to give up my career, my ambition to do this.
Oh, so they see it as a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's how this reads.
I feel like
they'll forego their career. Yeah,
they
could.
Yeah, that's not good. I mean, if they genuinely don't have any ambition and, like, don't want to have a career, that's one thing. But, like, if they're like, oh, I feel like I have to give this up for the good of the household, like, that's really sad.
I don't think that they feel like they have to give it up. I think it's, like a choice thing.
Yeah, if it's like a choice and that's what they want, like, I mean,
I think it's just a bad idea overall because it just leads to dependence on the, I guess, in this case, they'd be the husband because the trad wife thing. But, like, I think that dependence on one person is bad because then, I mean, like, say something were to go bad and you want out of that relationship, all of a sudden, like, it's their house. They pay for it. The cars are in their name. Where are you going to go? You don't have any money. You don't have a job. You don't have a car.
That's the problem.
I guess you better really trust that person.
I wouldn't want to be a trad wife.
Sounds to me like you Jess was talking it up. Jess didn't think it was too bad of an idea.
Well, I think, God bless Jess, you know, she's a little older now, and I think that you go through several relationships. You go through a marriage, and you have a kid that's with that marriage, and I think your standards lower a little bit. You become a little more... I didn't say this when she was here. You see. Go ahead, caller.
That's why you have alimony and child support.
Yeah, but how long is that going to last?
It can last forever if it's alimony.
I don't know. I think it seems like a bad idea to me. It seems like you're going to get a lot of resentment out of this.
Well, it's not... You said that it was a life of leisure. That's not the traditional what they're talking about. That could be what the article is saying, yeah. Because they're going to try to spin it, you know, a certain way like they do so many times. But no, it's focusing on traditional values and, you know, family being paramount. And when you think about it, I mean, what is your ultimate legacy? For most people, it's going to be their children. And, you know, we have spent for the last 100 years kind of rejecting, doing a 180 on what humanity has, you know, engaged in and put value on, namely family. And that's a fairly recent thing. And if you look at contentment, you know, surveys and depression and things like that, a lot of it is, if you look at women who didn't have children, who did not get married, they have some of the highest, like, depression rates. So I think that it is important. Now, it's not going to be for every single person, but it is kind of a counterculture revolution to go back to what traditional values are.
I don't know. I think the problem is foregoing the career. That means you want a career, and you are foregoing it just to appease somebody.
Well, you don't necessarily have to want it.
Well, but I think that's what this article's saying, though, that the trend is that they'll forego the career.
That's what the author, you know, they want to say, like, that it is only natural. The only choice for a woman is to... you know, devote 100% to their professional career.
Well, no,
and
if you...
That's not fair, and that's not accurate.
No, if you want to be a traditional wife, I think that's fine. I don't think anybody's saying you shouldn't do that. I think what people are saying here is that the idea that these are great days and that everybody was happy in those days when people stayed home, I don't know that that was true. I know a lot of women from that particular era who, as soon as their kids were out of the house, they felt like they had wasted their lives. They went to work at that point in their life. A lot of them resented their husbands. A lot of people got divorces when the kids left. I mean, there was a whole syndrome created for this called empty nest syndrome that was huge in the 1980s. You don't hear about it so much anymore. But it was when the kids left. Now we got to deal with each other for the first time in 18 years.
Well, that's kind of a different topic. I mean, it may be related in certain circumstances. But, you know, how many women, if they forego, you know, a family, how many of them have resentment later in life because they devoted themselves to their career and working for a company that doesn't care about you?
I guess you could.
If you look at the studies of, you know, depression, you know, amongst gender and age and, you know, that sort of thing, it's pretty clear that a lot of women that do pursue that, you know, have regrets later on in life.
Well,
so,
I think everybody's got some regret in some way. I think the idea is, though, don't not get in the game because somebody doesn't want you to get in the game. I think that's the idea. But if you want to stay at home and you have no other ambition in life and that's what you want to do, I don't think anybody's saying don't do that. I just people...
But they don't put enough value. The people, like, the people in the media, the people in academia, you know, they look down on people that that have those beliefs, that place value in traditional beliefs, and place value on,
you know,
the family and being a mother. I mean, that is probably, again, it's your greatest legacy.
I'm
whether
not
or not
sure.
You have kids, or you don't, or you do, or you don't have kids. I mean, that's a choice for everybody to make, and not everybody's going to have them.
I'm not sure about that at all. I mean, I don't have kids, and people are very dismissive. If I even give an opinion on a child thing, you don't know. You don't know. Well, I find that. I'm like, well, maybe you don't know. I think they're much more... I'm not dismissive to people who have kids. I don't go, oh, you're, you know, plah, what a thing you are. But they do that all the time if you try to say something to them. If you try to give... They're complaining about their kids and you say, well, you don't know anything about that.
So you don't think that members of the media and academia who are devout feminists, who believe that female empowerment is only represented with a woman that pursues a career path, you don't think that they look down on women who decide that the thing that they value most is family?
Well, how about this?
A traditional role.
The only woman here, what do you think, Carrington?
That's not really what feminism is. Feminism, it relates more to equality. I Googled it just to give an accurate definition. It just says all genders having equal rights and opportunities. It's just phrased as feminism is the term for it. I think people can have regrets in a lot of different situations. I've never personally looked at the depression rates of people that haven't had kids versus have had kids. I know a lot of people in my life that have had kids. That seems to be a common reoccurrence. I don't know. I don't see them as overly joyful a lot of times. Like I've said this before, that I think that a lot of people with kids tend to be some of the most unhappy, and their ideal day is always like, oh, I can get the kids at the babysitter. You know, it's not including their kids. So I don't know. I mean, from personal experience, it doesn't always seem that way.
Well, you know, I'm not saying that every single person that has a child is automatically, like, a great parent. But your legacy in your existence is going to be best memorialized through a child. So if you do have a kid, not only will they carry half of your DNA, but they're also going to be, you know, carrying the values that you instill in them, and, you know, the remnants of, like, you being a good parent. So as far as a legacy goes, like, people, you know, it is best personified in your child.
What if your son is O.J. Simpson? I think it's a bad day for you.
Your son's dead.
Yeah, but I don't think people are saying, wow, what a great mother that was.
Yeah, I just don't think it's always an accurate, like, oh, my kids take on whatever I teach them and stuff. There are plenty of kids that have terrible parents and parents that have terrible kids.
And we've talked about marriage all the time. There are plenty of people I know who were married all their life, and their kids are constantly marrying different people. Why didn't that transfer over? They grew up in a household where nobody was married and divorced, but yet they can't stop being married and divorced.
Similar thing with me, actually. My mom and dad, they're still together. They've, you know, no divorce there. Same thing with my grandparents. My grandparents have been together my entire life.
Oh.
All right. So, okay. So, same thing for me. My parents have never got divorced. So, like, they you know, they're together still. And my same thing with my grandparents. My grandparents are together. They've been married my entire life as well.
I just think putting a I don't know that your legacy, your best legacy is your kids. I don't know. I think that's an awful lot of pressure on the kids. I think it, you should have kids if you want to, and I think that's a nice thing, and so on and so forth, but I don't know that that's your legacy. I think your legacy, the only thing you ever control totally, the only person you ever control totally is you. So I think you better work on your own legacy and just try to raise good kids the best you can. And it doesn't always turn out that way, unfortunately, but try your best.
I think parents who try to live through their kids a lot of the time end up making their kids...
miserable.
Yeah, their kids end up not liking them because like their parents just a lot of the times control their life.
In the year 2100, what will remain of Scott Spears?
Oh, all these programs and a hot dog bun at Tony Paco's.
We're going to move to the Marion Hall family.
That's your legacy. Okay, so the people who have children, and I'm not criticizing, I don't have kids either, Scott, so I'm not sitting here with a brood of kids and spouting off.
But
I am aware of the fact that in the year 2100, you know, I will have no legacy. Other than, you know, everybody that I knew will likely be dead and gone, and I will have no inheritors of me.
Well,
but
hopefully,
if you do have a child, then that is your legacy. If you were fortunate enough to instill good value system and you put a good, productive, honest, you know, person into society, then that's a legacy.
I hope the younger people who maybe I had some impact on or who are still around after me remember me in some good way, and if they do, that's great. But if they don't, I'm dead. So I don't really know that I'm thinking about legacy at that point. I don't even know. You know, it's weird that you bring this up. This is such a weird thing because I think we talked about it before we went on the air. You know what I hope my legacy is, if there is one, which I don't think there is going to be one, but I hope what it is that I inspired somebody to do something they think they couldn't do. Just because you grew up in Marion, just because you were from here, you couldn't ascertain that. If people are inspired to, if one person's inspired to do that, that's fine by me. That's plenty legacy for me. You know, when I got done doing
there's two legacy, then. You've got Matt and Carrington.
Yeah, but you never know.
Well,
they're
control how they turn out.
Children, right?
You never know how they could turn out. I really can't say, you know, at this particular point. Well, but it's an interesting conversation. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't need kids, I don't think, to have any kind of legacy. And if I don't have one, I'm dead. I bigger fish to fry.
But Scott, I mean, to some extent, he's not necessarily wrong. So the whole reason I did join the whole radio thing to begin with was because one day when I was on break, you know, tapping through Snapchat stories, I you know, had heard about how you how Ted Williams, man with the golden voice, had said he was running for president on your show.
That's my legacy.
And ever since then, I've been like, hey, Scott, I'm interested in that.
I think it's a good legacy to have. I mean, I think that's nice. I mean, I think if you got people to try, get out of their comfort zone and try something, good. I mean, that's a nice thing. You told me the other night when you did the Hall of Fame thing that you had somebody message you, wasn't it, who said, I can't believe the guy at Kroger is...
Oh, yeah, my cousin messaged me, and he said that it throws me off to see the dude to see a dude on live TV who I see at Kroger.
There you go. That's good enough for me. I'll take that.
That's Scott's legacy.
That's my legacy, that I hopefully... showed people that you can be happy without kids, you can be happy without being married, you can be happy doing all kinds of different jobs, and that it's no is never an option. I can't is not, doesn't have to be part of your vocabulary. If that's it, good. I'll take that any day of the week over anything else. And you know what? I don't know if I've impacted anybody. You never really know that, but you hope you do. And I'm not going anywhere anytime soon, I don't think.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. As far
oh
as
my
I know.
Gosh. Bold statement.
I mean, you never know from day to day. It could be the end, but, you know, whatever. Showbiz. So, as we approach the end here now, the end of the program.
We're entering this program hour similarly to the initial one with a little, like, inspirational. This is a legacy conversation.
A legacy conversation.
figuring out the legacy.
Yeah, what's the legacy? What's the next hour?
Next hour, I think I'm going to talk a little bit about the CIA overthrowing Australia, essentially.
There you go. Just going to chat it up, huh, for an hour on that.
Ooh.
There you go. Well, you know what? I'm going to do something a little uncharacteristic this particular hour, and I'm not going to say goodnight tonight. So I'm going to let somebody else say goodnight on this particular program. So that's it for me for tonight. So Carrington, Matt and I are done here for the night. You can
say whatever I want.
Say goodnight. The floor is yours. Matter of fact, I'm going to turn off. Hold on. Where's Matt here? He's on green, so I'm going to turn off Matt's mic. Yep, number 5. And here goes mine. It's all you.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just going to have to solo it? This is a lot of pressure on me right now, you guys. I don't know why Scott feels that I have to have a solo moment here. I guess I should let everybody know that this is likely my last Friday night for a little bit. I'm starting a job with an airline coming up, starting on Wednesday, so I won't be in the studio anymore every Friday night, which I'm super upset about. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to stay as involved as possible with the radio station. I've loved being here. I loved the relationships I've formed. Huge thank you to Scott. I would have never thought I would end up here. I think a lot of the conversations we have about, you know, legacy and inspirational stuff, I'm like, Scott is kind of like an inspiration. Like, I would have never thought I would end up in a place like this without his, you know, support and guidance and, like, encouraging me to do this. I had never thought that the radio would be something that was attainable, I guess, or any sort of, like, social media, any sort of, like, influential, you know, position like this. So I'm glad I've gotten to do this. I will miss being here, definitely. That's definitely not the last you'll hear from me, so nobody panic out there. To all my fans, you'll still get Carrington. I'm planning on starting my own show to keep you guys informed on my travels and what I am doing. So stay tuned for that in the coming weeks. I have to get adjusted to the flight attendant training schedule, and then hopefully when the job starts and everything. But that's what I have going on. That's what I have to look forward to. So I'll definitely miss being here. Thank you, Matt. It's been such a pleasure. I love being here. More Carrington, less everybody else. Oh my gosh, I finally got the mic moment that I've been begging for since like week 3, I guess. That's what this is. So yeah, thanks to everybody out there that listens. I hope that it's been fun listening to my voice. I can't be on the other end to know what it sounds like. I hope my takes have been interesting. I hope that everyone's been engaged and you continue to listen. I love the radio station, and I'm definitely going to continue doing this. I feel like there's been a fire lit inside of me that, it's not going to be over just because what I'm doing at the present moment is changing. So thank you, everybody. For Carrington, Scott, and Matt, this is Carrington heading for the dugout.
Struggle with hunger. Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Adam Media and Adam the Computer Guy, offering remote and on-site technical support, network setup, and computer troubleshooting for homes and businesses. Website pctech.biz or adamthecomputerguy.com. Telephone number 740-531-2326. Also available mobile notary services in